Sometimes it is said that our type of church is sort of emotionally, they sweep you up. You know, but I've thought about it and I've realized that, you know, if you really want change, it needs to happen in your heart. And if it needs to happen in your heart, it needs to touch you on the inside. And that's why times like this is so special, when we sing from the heart with, you know, just in a sense losing ourselves in the song and in the presence of God. That's when change happens. You know, so I just want to encourage you. It works. Can't always explain exactly how it works, but it works. It brings change. And maybe something else as well. You know, church for me is not, it's not about coming to listen to a nice message or sing a few songs and then leave unchanged. You know, it's not just an intellectual thing. That's when I prepare a message, I want it to be relevant. I want it to speak to you. I want it to be practical. You know, it's not supposed to be some far off theological something. It should make sense. And that's really what I aim for, and trusting that you will experience it in such a way. And also, yeah, I'm really trusting in God that in these 3-4 weeks that God's going to do something here. You know, in the beginning of the year, early in the year, we felt that God spoke to our hearts and saying that he's going to raise up people in this church. It's like be an army, you know, onward Christian soldiers without killing anybody. Loving people, that type of thing. Loving people to change. But I just know that God is wanting to, through his word, bring change. And so I want to encourage you to open your heart tonight. And if I get a little bit excited, please forgive me. But it's worth it. Okay, so why a series on the challenges of life? You see, life is like a boxing ring. Didn't he say that? Boxing ring in that movie? Box of chocolates. No, but it's like a boxing ring, actually. And it's not just a box of chocolates. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's more like a boxing ring. And so you're in life. Life is happening. And so punches are thrown at you and me. You know, and sometimes we duck a few. Sometimes we take a few on the body. And sometimes we take a few against the head. These challenges of life. And sometimes you find yourself on the floor, out for the count. Anybody been there? Yep, indeed. So you see, it's not if it's going to happen. It's just when it's going to happen. And the tragic thing for me, and that's why I'm doing this series, is that the last few years or so, I see people hitting the floor. And I see them, the tragic thing is not hitting the floor. That's not a problem. The tragic thing is when they don't get up. When they don't get up again. And we see that over and over again. Life hits people and it's over. Because they didn't know how to handle it. And so I've experienced in my short life a few challenges. And I struggled through these things. I was on that floor in the boxing ring and I didn't know it was Arthur or Martha coming or going, you know, it's just confusion. And I believe a part of that reason is I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared and I didn't know how to handle it. So I want to give you some tips, but more than a few tips, real life principles to help you to handle the challenges that come. So that when you fall, you're going to get up. Now that's the aim of this series. Who saw the Cremora advert about 15 years ago? All the old people. Okay. And I'm old as well then. Okay. But in this advert, the husband is coming to the fridge and he is opening the fridge looking for his Cremora. And he's looking all over it and he can't find it. And so he's screaming at his wife, "Honey, where is the cremora?" And then she screams, "It's not inside, it's on top." And then it says, "Not inside, it's on top." And then it says, "Cremora, top of the coffee creamers." Hey, that's good advertising. I still remember it. It's amazing. You see, but when it comes to the challenges of life, it's not on top. It's inside. It's not on top. It's not on the outside. Your challenge is not your challenge. The mountain is not the problem. The valley is not the problem. The challenge is what's going on here on the inside. Do you have the capability to deal with this challenge? So the problem, the challenge is not on top. It's on the inside. Okay, so I hope you remember that. So to give you a bit of an outline, I'm going to do over these four evenings. Luke 3, verse 2. Now, before I read that, at this time, In the history of Israel, I mean, there haven't been any prophets for like 300 years. There was nothing happening. No prophets, no words from God. And then this amazing little message or verse pops up there. It says, "And the word of God came to John." That's John the Baptist. And it says, "And he went." And he went to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then in Luke 3, verses 4 to 6, it speaks of this effect, but this massive shift in the history of the world happened with this little thing. And the word of God came to John. And he went out proclaiming, preaching in the nation. And it says there, and this is an Old Testament prophecy about 600-700 years before Christ, it was prophesied that this is going to happen, this moment, this point in time is going to take place. And it says there, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." That's not like weeping, that's like proclaiming in the wilderness. "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And then "Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." So there's something amazing that happens at the end. It says, "And everybody shall see God." I mean, that's actually what it says. Everybody shall see God, but there's four things that need to happen. And it's those four things I want to talk about over these 4 weeks. Number one, the valley must be filled. I'm going to talk about that tonight. The valley must be filled. Next week, every mountain and hill brought low. The next week, crooked places shall be made straight, and then the rough ways smooth. All of this working together to prepare the way for the world to see God. And I'll explain as we're going. And each evening, I'm trusting for a bit of a perception change. A perception change. And this evening, I'm trusting for this perception change. I'm going to talk about the valley of failure. Anybody ever failed before? Glynis is up there. Yes. Thank you, Glynis. Okay, you and me, we together. Okay. But the perception change I'm trusting is the following. The valley of failure is a graveyard to many. It's a fact. It's a graveyard to many. But I believe it's the birthplace of the mighty. It is the birthplace. It is the preparation place. And that's, I'm trusting for a perception change. But I'll explain as we continue. Okay. So the first point I want to make is failure speaks loudly. Failure speaks loudly. Why is failure such a knockout when it comes to the boxing ring? Why is failure such a knockout? It's like you are in the boxing ring, you ducking, diving, throwing a few punches, then suddenly you weren't looking and you get a shot from the side. And you think, "Oh, where did that come from?" And you realize you hit yourself. Not always. Failure isn't always that. But so often it comes back to that. Somebody else could have hit you, but it comes down to, "I should have been better. I should have known better. I should have done better." And I think that's why failure is such a challenge, because we personalize it. It's no longer, "I made a failure. I am a failure." It personalizes, which makes it really hard to deal with it. As I see, as I've made mistakes, I'm not going to go into many nitty-gritty details. Obviously, you don't want to hear all the details of how I have made mistakes in life. So I'm just going to give you the result. The result is, in my life, I've found that it's like I give myself a punch, and I punch myself into the valley of failure, and I'm like, ah, I'm in the valley of failure. It's dark. It's depressing. It's hard. It's everything suddenly looks different. Then the young people, you'll find out maybe at some stage. But that moment, it's like that failure, that something that happens, it cancels all the good. You could have done many good. You failed once, and suddenly it's like you forget everything about the past. And you feel like a failure. And then what I've experienced is then I start doubting. And I start thinking, what have I been doing? Maybe everything has been a joke. Maybe, especially when it comes to your relationship with God, if there's failure in terms of your relationship with God, so often when you start doubting everything, it's like the carpet has been pulled from under you. And suddenly depression sets in. It's just dark and dreary. Yeah. Not nice. The valley of failure is not the place you want to be. So the valley of failure speaks to us. It speaks to you and it speaks to me. A few things. Number one, it says you're the problem. So failure is an identity issue. It speaks to us about who we are. You didn't just fail. You are a failure. Ever heard that voice? I have. Personalize. Personalize. And you know, what is our response? If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you've ever tried. If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you ever tried. I didn't try it. Because we are so afraid of failure. And then our response is, concerning failure, is we hide it, we deny it, we fear it, we ignore it, we hate it. But failure, out of my life. I want nothing to do with failure. And you see, our perception of failure will determine how we live our lives. If you fear failure, you already set down a boundary for you. You're never going to go over the boundary because you don't want to fail. So you are closing your life up for what you are able to do. Or maybe it's more practical, small little things. You're in high school, maybe just single. You're eyeing this pretty girl. And you think you're going to now step out. You're going to impress her. You're going to impress her big. She's got this lovely dress on. So you're going to compliment her. You're going to say something nice. And so as you step up and closer, you want to, it's like you start stuttering. And then suddenly you say something that you weren't planning to say. You say something like, you really look big in that dress. I mean, I dig your dress. I dig your dress. And you think, oh, I didn't say that, did I? I always do that. Why can't I just get this right? I'm going to be single for the rest of my life. Loser. You know, those thoughts go through your mind. Or maybe business. You know, maybe you're in the business world and the economy is struggling and your business maybe is struggling. And now you're thinking back, if I just did a few things differently, I wouldn't be in this place that I'm currently in. If I just didn't do that. Yes, I know it's the economy, but if I just did something differently, everything could have been different. So you're personalizing again. It's you. Or maybe you're divorced, you've gone through a divorce, and you start thinking, maybe it's true what he said. Maybe it is all my fault. Maybe it is me. And you personalize it. And you find yourself in a valley of failure where it is dark and dreary and depressing, which isn't great. And so the result is we beat ourselves up. It's not the challenges that's the challenge. It's ourselves, our way of thinking, our thoughts of ourselves. And we are allowing to beat ourselves up. It's like you fall into the floor. You're about to get up and then you do a on yourself. Fatsue. vat so. It's true. We do that. When you're down, you beat yourself up. Don't do that. Don't do that. Start removing failure from yourself, from your identity, from your personality, from your ability. Remove it. None of us is a failure. None. How can I say that? Huh? Grammatically correct. We all make mistakes. Come on, Richard. Don't be so sure talking about mistakes tonight. Okay, let me explain to you why I'm not going to take that personally. This is beautiful. This is now a beautiful practical example. You see, you are not a failure. Why? For as long as you've got breath in your lungs, you can learn to improve your grammar. So Richard will help me to improve my grammar. Thank you. But as long as you've got breath, I tell you, you have your whole life ahead of you. Your whole life. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter what's happened, doesn't matter the challenge you're going through. You have life ahead of you if you get out of the valley of failure. If you're in the valley of failure, life doesn't make sense. But if you get out and you realize, I'm not a failure, I'm going to make the next day work, and the next day work, and the next day work. But failure says you're a problem. Don't receive that. Second thing that failure speaks to us, it changes our perspective. You were up there above the valley, you were flying, you had the sunshine, great, and then you're in the pit, boom. Your perspective has changed. Everything's dark, everything's dreary. Dark and depressing, lonely, alone there in the valley. It changes our perspective. Third thing, it says to us, God isn't with you. That's often what happens. When we fail and you are a believer, you are, have a relationship with God, then often it says to us, God isn't with you. Why? Why would we listen to that? Why would we think like that? You see, because maybe something happens, a tragedy strikes, and immediately you think, but if God was with me, this wouldn't have happened. That's how we think, but that's not how we should think. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, you wouldn't think that God was with him. I think 3 times his ship sunk. He was beaten how many times? He was in prison, out of prison. If you look at his life, you think, Paul, are you a believer? Is God with you? Tragedy or challenges does not determine if God is with us or not. Sometimes it is the road to success. It is the road to victory if we would change our perception about it. A few years ago, at Shofar head office, we recorded these Bible school videos on DVD. And so some of us did a few sessions. And it's like, and then we got in this lady. She was a newsreader in the late 80s. Can't remember her name. But she's like a professional. And now she's coming to, and she plays in Seven Delon as well. And she came to do a training course with all the pastors. And so now there's like 30 or 40 of us. And they're going to show pieces of footage of you. Of me. And they are gonna rip you apart. I was terrified. It's like, oh. So I was heading up the media team. So I told them, guys, if you use any video clips that make me look bad, I'll fire you. I was joking, but I might have. And then it was just amazing. When we actually did it, they showed the video clips and they critted lots of negatives, some positives. It was liberating. It was liberating. I couldn't believe it. It set me free from being afraid of what are people going to say. It's like, go for it. Say what you want to say. Rip me apart. It's actually liberating. Because tomorrow I'm going to try harder. I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn. I want to learn. And that really brought a change in my life. But so many of us are afraid of criticism. We are afraid of looking as if we failed. So anyway, fourth point there, graveyard. Another thing that the valley of failure speaks to us. It becomes a graveyard, the valley of failure. So many men and women have made their grave in the valley of failure. It's like you're saying you've failed. You're standing in the valley of failure. You have the burial service happening there. And you say, here lies my destiny. Hey, it was fun while it lasted, but I was naive. Or here lies my faith. Seems that it wasn't cut out to make it. Or here lies my courage. You know, it's not me. I'm not really the courageous type. You know, so you qualify or justify you backing off and starting to live in the valley of failure because it's not you. And so we allow our failures to define us. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't. We should have a perception change. Okay, so how do you and I break out of the valley of failure? So I want to take us to Scripture. There's some beautiful story of the Apostle Peter. So if you want to ever preach about failure, Peter is your man. He's super failure. He's the man. He's the expert on failing. He has made so many failures in Scripture. It is scary. I can't just imagine what he told the guys, his friends that wrote it down. He said, oh, come on, I can't believe you put it in there. But it's there. For us, to help us. In this passage, Luke 5, Jesus used Simon Peter's boat to preach from. So the boat was put out into the water. And so there's a huge crowd. So Jesus sat down in the boat and he taught the people. And then after he stopped speaking, Luke 5 verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, this is Jesus, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Very simple. You're fishermen. Now go out and fish. And then Peter answers, Simon answers. Simon answers and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now think about that for a moment. Peter saying, Jesus, we've been fishing all night. I'm a fisherman. This is my occupation. This is my expertise. I am the fisherman. But nowhere in Scripture ever, whenever they speak about Peter fishing, he never catches anything, ever. But he's a fisherman. He is the man, the fisher man. And so now he's miserable. He's like, Jesus, you know, I don't want to offend you here, but we've been trying all night. I don't think there's any fish in the sea. I don't think there's any fish. And so, I don't know. It just isn't working for me, this fisherman thing. But then he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And so they went out. And they put out the nets again. And it says, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. They literally filled two boats. It was filled with fish. It was a massive catch. And then this very interesting response from Peter. When he saw this, it says, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That's a very interesting response. I would say, yay, fish, let's eat. He's falling on his knees before Jesus, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And I'm just thinking about that I am bit, the personalizing bit. He was basically saying, I am a failure. Jesus, what are you doing? What are you doing coming to me? You and me, we are different. Jesus, do you know my past? Jesus, do you know all the failures? Do you know all my mess ups? Jesus, have you any idea? You don't want anything to do with me. I am a failure. I am a sinner. And I do not deserve anything from you. Go away, Lord. Go away. Go away. Leave me. You know, and that's what happens to so many people. We say, God, just leave me alone. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of your grace. I'm not worthy of your help. I've messed up too badly. And then Jesus answers him and says to him, from this day onwards, you will be a fisher of men. That's beautiful. What was Jesus saying? Peter, I hear you. I know you. I know everything about you. But from this day onwards, things are changing. From this moment onwards, your failures no longer define you. I define you. My words define you. From this day onwards, I define you. I will determine your future, not your failures. And I want to say that to each of us here. Don't allow your failures to determine you. There's something else, something glorious. How do we break out of the valley of failure? Well, I believe failure speaks loudly to us. I mean, that's a fact. It speaks to us and you struggle to get it out. But I believe the Word of God speaks louder. I believe the Word of God speaks louder. I believe the Word of God speaks louder. Why? Why the Word of God? You see, the Word of God is an objective source of truth. Objective. You know, if somebody else says something about you, it's not objective. It's within their small little frame of reference. But if God, if Jesus comes to you as he came to Peter, and he says, Peter, you're going to be a fisher of men, then Jesus knows him. He knows every hair on his head. He knows all about him. He speaks those words in the context of perfect clarity about the future and the past. So if God speaks to you, it is so. If God tells you, you're a fisher of men, it is so. If God speaks to you and tells you something about yourself, it is so. Because he is objective. And that's why we need the Word of God in our lives. I remember some years ago, I made a mistake. And a professional ministry mistake. And in the process, I was removed from the sermon roster in Cape Town region for about 3 months. Because they wanted to just make sure I'm not really wacky. And so, in this time when I made this mistake, you know, I was really struggling. Because it's like my whole life was being reevaluated. Well, if I made this mistake and my leaders are having to, no, I'm not allowed to minister now for a period of time. Well, maybe I've been deceived the whole time. Maybe I'm not called of God. Maybe I got depressed in a sense. You know, I was really struggling. I was thinking, will anybody trust my judgment again? And I wondered. And then after 3 months, I got the opportunity again to preach at one of our churches. And it was a really special evening. That evening, God's presence was there, but it's just a really special evening. And then something happened. A lady came to me. You know, as you must remember, I was still in the throes of struggling through lots of things, determining if I'm in the right place. Should I be in the ministry? Should I not? Should I? What am I doing? In that moment, a lady came to me and she said to me that while I was ministering the word, she saw Jesus standing behind me. She saw Jesus standing behind me with his hands on my shoulders saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Oh, that spoke to me. Like you cannot imagine the timing, the moment. It was God speaking to me. And I'm thinking, Jesus, are you speaking to the right person here? I messed up. Every now and again, I mess up. I make big mistakes. Lord, you got the right person here, Lord? And he said, yes. I'm not only pleased with you, I want to celebrate you. And that's just scripture. That happened to Jesus as well. The Father, when he was baptized, the Father spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There are no words to describe the effect on my life. That moment defined me. It didn't matter what people said afterwards because, sorry, God says, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not okay. I'm great. Sometimes you have to say that. God likes me. But that brought a defining moment to me that pulled me out of the valley of failure, that pulled me out of that depression, that pulled me out of the doubts and the confusion. Simple word. A simple word from somebody that I don't even know who it is. It changed me. And I'm saying this because I believe that the word of God speaks louder. It's not some hoo-ha, funny, weird thing. The word of God, when God spoke in Genesis 1, he said, "Let there be light." What was the result? Well, a few days later as well, he said, "Let there be a few lights in the sky." Well, today we know billions of galaxies. Today we know billions of stars because of the word of God that spoke. And so I want to, in a sense, put the spotlight on the word of God. What are you holding on? Are you listening to the failures? Because failure speaks loudly. But I tell you, the word of God speaks louder. We underestimate the power of God's word. We underestimate the effect on our lives. We underestimate its power. Okay, so perception change. Just before I get into why does the word actually speak louder. Perception change. I'm almost finished. Failure is our best friend and teacher. It's like you made a mistake and you know it. And there you see your good old buddy failure coming around. "Hello, loser. It's me again. Seems like you and me, we're going to be good buddies for the rest of your life. Me, you and me, we like yeah, we friends, loser." And then you say, "Oh, I don't want you in my life. I don't want anything to do with you. I want to run away." And is that the right response? No. You should say, "Yes, buddy, come here, man." And he's going to say, "Oh, what's up with this guy?" Shock failure. Give him the shock of his life. Give him a heart attack. "Hey, buddy, welcome into my life." Why do I say that? Because you need a perception change. We are afraid of failure, but failure is the road to success if you embrace it. Failure speaks to us, and in that sense, it is a great teacher. You shouldn't listen to everything failure says. If failure says you are a failure, don't listen. But if failure tells you, now you should know better than jumping off the building, for instance. I mean, there's amazing things that you can learn. Some of the biggest lessons that I've learned in my life was when I made a mistake. And I was willing to embrace it and to say, okay, change. I don't want that to happen again. Change. And I've made major changes in my life, so I'm failing less, except for my grammar every now and again. I'm going to use it against you. But we learn so much about through failure. You learn more through your failures than through your successes. I guarantee you. Success blows up your head, but failure makes us humble if we open to it. Failure is simply practice. Simply practice. Failure is practice. I shared this before, but I share it again. Somebody saw a picture of a man with a spear. And she saw this warrior with his spear, and he threw the spear at the target. And he missed. And then he took the spear and he threw again. And next time it was a little bit closer, but he missed again. And then he took his spear and he threw again, and he hit the target. Now imagine if you were that warrior man with a spear, or the warrior woman with her handbag, then like David and Goliath. It's very biblical. And so imagine you are that warrior and you throw the spear the first time and then you, I missed. And so you break down because you missed. Is that stupid? Yes. But do we do it? Yes. We all do. We cry because we missed the target. No. It's practice. Failure is practice. Failure is practice. When we give ourselves permission to fail, we at the same time give ourselves permission to excel. Think about that. When we give ourselves permission to fail, we at the same time give ourselves, I think it's on the screen, give ourselves permission to excel. Yep, there it is. Now think about that for a moment. If you're a soldier in the army, you would say, sir, permission to speak. I'm saying now, say, sir, permission to fail. Dreadfully. Thank you. And you go for it. Why? Because then you have permission to excel. You have permission to try new things. About 30 years ago, they were doing high jump at that time with a different maneuver. You had to jump forward over the bar. Now that sounds really silly. At that time, that was the norm. And then this one guy said, I don't think that's going to work the best. I'm going to do it with my back. I'm going to do it like... And everyone said, you're an idiot, it's never going to work, and na-na-na-na-na. And then he broke the world record in the 1960s. And everybody changed. Because he had the guts to say, I'm giving myself permission to fail. We live our lives afraid of failure. And it determines how we live. I'm saying, I'm giving you permission tonight. Go big. Go big. Make a mistake, pick up your spear again, throw again, or the handbag, whichever one works for you. But you will then push the boundaries. You'll go beyond what is the norm. Okay, so why does the Word of God, I'm ending off here, why does the Word of God speak louder than our failures? Why? Why does it speak louder? Well, number one, it gives us a true perspective. A true perspective. If you are in the valley of failure and all what you can see in front of you is more darkness, more chaos, you're in the valley, it's dark and depressing. You know what the Word of God does? It gives you a skyward overview look. And it says to you, around the next corner, you're going to get out of the valley. Just press through. Say, oh, thank you, Lord. And then you realize that direction around the next corner, I'm going to get out. It gives us a true perspective. Failure doesn't usually give us a true perspective. It gives us hope. It gives us hope. Would you say that being in prison for your faith would be like a valley of failure? I'd say yes, definitely. I mean, thinking through the effects of being in prison, you're going to go through the same mindset. You're going to ask yourself, now, if God is all-powerful and almighty and able to do anything, what am I doing in prison? I mean, that's sort of logical. But you're in prison. And so you're going to start losing hope. And I read this bit from Chinese Christian pastors that were imprisoned for their faith in the late 1940s, 50s. And then the one guy says this, we are pastors who refuse to recant our belief in Jesus, to deny. We were not going to deny Jesus. And we were held in solitary confinement. So they're put into prison because they didn't want to deny Jesus, and they were put in solitary confinement. With total silence, unable to speak or sing aloud. Later, I found out that those who did not know Scripture or sing hymns either recanted and denounced Christ or committed suicide. I know of no exceptions. It was the word of God that kept us from doing any of these three. Now that's a good, you have to do an experiment about the effect and the power of the word of God. That'd be a good experiment. And that shows us that you and I, we need the word of God, or we might also recant, deny, or even commit suicide. The King's Mall in Gunubi, I think there's a few brothers that own it, and they live in Wellington in the Cape. And I know that some of them visited one of our churches. And the two brothers, I think the older one, the one is a true believer. The other one was struggling. But they came to church the one Sunday in one of our churches. And in that week, the one committed suicide because they lost all the money. They lost people's pensions. They lost people's inheritance. And he just couldn't handle the failure. That tells me he didn't have hope. He didn't have the word of God. He didn't have something to hold on to. He didn't have an anchor in his heart. He was in the valley of failure, but didn't have a word that tells him, just go this direction, it's going to get better. Just go in that direction. So the word of God gives us hope. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter what's happening to you. If you get the word of God into your heart, a specific promise, a specific word. The book of Psalms is brilliant. If you're ever struggling, go to the book of Psalms and get yourself a promise to give you hope. And then the third thing that the word of God does, it turns our failure into a success. As I said, our failures often negate all the good that's ever happened. Because you're staring into the face of the failure. But what happens is when the word of God comes, it overwhelms your failure and leads you into victory. I mean, Peter, he was fishing whole night, didn't work. The word of God says, Jesus says, go deep, go fish. And it worked more than he could ever have imagined. So you need to allow the word of God to speak to you. I've experienced this in my life. From the valley of failure into flying for God, the difference was the word of God. Almost every time, somebody would have been praying for me, and they would give me a word, or I would read the scriptures, and just some scripture would speak to me, and it would change me. Change my perception, change my life. And that's why I often, at the end of sermons, I ask people to come forward, not to put pressure on people, but because here's an environment where we can pray for you, and the words of God can be spoken into your life. I can name probably 20 times that I've responded on what is called altar calls. Come to the front and somebody spoke a word into my life and I'm changed. Changed forever. And that's why we do this. That's why we invite people forward. You never need to feel you have to, but sometimes it's really good for you. Now think about this. The ultimate failure ever. You are the Messiah. You have a national and international ministry. Thousands of people flock to you. And then you die on a cross. Hanging naked there. People spat on you, beat you, said terrible things about you. How's that for failure? Huh? I think that's the ultimate failure of all time. And it would have stayed that failure unless it was for the word of God. Because Jesus said beforehand, in 3 days I will rise. In 3 days I will rise. And it was the word of God that came, that reached down into the very depths of the earth and brought up his soul again. It was the word of God that brought life to his dead body and he started to breathe again. It was the word he said, I shall rise. The word of God shall be done. And I want to say this to each and every one of us. Let the mighty arise. Let the mighty arise. Not because you are so mighty. Not because you are so strong. Not because anything in you determines that you're mighty. But because the word of God says so. Let the mighty arise. Arise from the dead. Arise from your graveyard. Arise from your valley of failure. Arise from these things speaking to you the whole time. Arise from that place. Do not allow it to define you. But allow the word of God to say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Or this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Hear it. Hear it with your heart. Hear it with your on the inside, with your spirit. Hear the word of God saying to you, arise. Arise from the valley of failure. Arise. There's a scripture in Luke 4, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Live. If you don't have the word of God, you're not going to live in the way that God has destined you to live. You're not going to break out of the mold that's been given to you. The word of God brings life. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. I find this in my life. Every time things don't look so good, every time something's happening that I'm struggling, I go to the word. That's why I have faith for this church, because I have the word of God. I have God saying, this is going to be. Doesn't matter what people say. And that is your challenge. Get a word for your life. Get a word for your children. Get a word for your marriage. Get a word for your future. Get a word. Ask God and He will give you. Even if it's just Scripture. Scripture is the most powerful. But it's the right Scripture at the right time. It speaks. So maybe you have never taken the Word of God very seriously. Maybe you've never taken Scripture seriously. I strongly want to urge you. May that change today. It is your life source. It is your life source to keep you out of the valley of failure. And so I just want us to application for the week. Go and review your biggest failure in the light of God's word to you. Go and review your biggest failure. Or maybe you have a dream and you're not pursuing it. Go back to it and go evaluate it in the context of the Word of God. And believe. Get hope. You see, then you would say, if you go and review your failure, you'd say, yes, failure, I hear you. I'm going to learn some things from this. But the Word of God says... But the Word of God says, but the Word of God says. Imagine each of us start doing that. We will start living without boundaries, in terms of negative boundaries. We will start going for our dreams. We will start living life because we're not afraid. And we have the Word sending us forth. Would you please stand with me? And that scripture says, let every valley shall be filled. Every valley shall be filled. Just close your eyes, just where you're standing now. Every valley shall be filled. Hallelujah. So I want to ask us, we're going to do one song just to end off with. And as we're doing the song, if you feel led to, no pressure, then if you have to. But if you have a failure in your life or something in your life that's haunting you, and you want us just to pray with you, just come and stand here in the front. And some of the ushers or counselors will be here as well. And we just want to pray with you. And then I'll end off with a corporate prayer. So as we sing the song, do we have a song? Take this moment to just come and stand here if you feel led to. And we're going to trust God to speak a word of life into your heart. God, we exalt you in this place. God, we thank you. call us to rise up. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Let's just look to the Lord.
Seated on the throne, running out with many crowns, you reign victorious. Heart lifted up, Jesus, Son.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you. God, we thank you that we can declare this evening, Lord God, that yes, our failures speak loudly, but the word of God speaks louder. Yes, the valley of failure is a graveyard for many, but it's the birthplace of the mighty. And so, God, we speak this right now. God, we release the word of God over every person here, Lord God. We release life. God, we release grace. We release, Lord, a change in our thinking. And when we think of failure, we think friend, not foe. Father, we thank you for that, God. Thank you, God, for a change of our thinking in this week and the weeks to come. And so, God, we just say, let the mighty arise. Let the mighty arise in the days to come and in the weeks to come. Even as, Lord Jesus, you spoke to Lazarus and you said, come forth. And he came forth from the grave. So we say, Lord God, to your people, may they arise from the valley of failure into your grace, into victory in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your grace and your goodness. In Jesus' name. And so, Father, we pray for your blessing upon us, Lord God, as we go into this week. We pray, Lord God, for protection, Lord God. We pray that the Word of God will speak to us. We pray, Lord God, that we will make it a priority in our lives, Lord God, every day. May we truly live by the Word of God. May we apply it. And we thank you for that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.